Welcome to Buena Vista. It's a bonus episode. You are here with Andrew and Theo, and we are currently in a polling booth in London, voting multiple times.
That's right. We are flagrantly defying election laws to vote with every ID that we could steal off our family. I've brought in my grandmother's tombstone under one arm. as voter identification, and I'm going back for another go. How about you, Andrew?
I've been robbing old people in the park, taking their purses, their wallets, yep. Coming in, and I've walked in, thrown a handful of ID cards, splashed them out onto the registry, and said, "I am all of these people. Yeah. Ballots, please."
Yeah, it's so cool breaking the law to vote for socialist candidates. To me, and that's my honest opinion.
To vote for Marxist Jeremy Corbyn.
Hey, do you mind if I just move my extremely loud chair around for a bit? I'm not sure if we caught that right at the very start of the episode, but I'm not
Get
quite...
Get some squeaks
How's that?
In there.
That's good.
Have a little wriggle.
Yeah. I feel like we're pretty light on the environmental noise. Just quick sidebar. I mean, I'm listening to, you know, other podcasts as you do. Try and pick up some tips and tricks. You know, I'm hearing other podcasts and they're like smart and incisive and funny. So,
that's not really what I want to emulate about other podcasts. when I listen to other podcasts, the main thing I think is I need a louder mouse.
Oh, yeah. And what I also need to be doing is like fucking with the microphone. while I'm talking constantly.
I'm just adjusting the, yeah. Look, yeah, it's
they love like just messing with all of the connections mid podcast for some reason. Look, I'm sure I'm listening to the dollop at the moment. I'm sure they've sorted out the sound quality, pristine. Except when they're like, I'm just gonna move my microphone around a little bit and wiggle things in and out.
Must you, sir?
Yeah. Conversely, my microphone is on a like a boom arm because I hate to actually move at all.
Just sit very upright, bolt upright.
I have no need to be dynamic in either my words or my movements.
One solid hour of sitting ramrod straight spine, speaking directly into the microphone.
I mean, I was going to sit in this position motionless for an hour anyway, so I may as well do it in front of a microphone.
Oh, I didn't tell you. Somebody wrote in and complained about us and the other hosts having wet mouth.
Oh yeah, no. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Was that you that wrote in?
I was actually trying to work out for like the Christmas break which one we should open up to the non-paying listeners as a little bonus, right?
Yep.
And so I was listening back to Italian Barbaria. Great episode. I think one of the best we've done. And I have an extremely wet mouth all of the time. I'm sorry. I'm trying to sit further away from the microphone. It's really hard to judge. I'm so sorry. And I'm also kind of like drinking beer the whole time as well.
What I think
counts against us.
Yeah, look, you know, we're all just trying to get it together. All of us podcasters out in the world, we can't all be like some fucking true crime podcast I was reading about that like signed a $10 million contract with a network.
Oh, is that the My Favorite Murder?
Yeah, some one? Shit like that. Oh my God. True crime shit is just depressing to me. It's really depressing to me. It's, I'm sure I've gone on about this at length on the show before, but I was looking at, every now and then I go and look at like the iTunes charts to see if we are in the top 200 of like news podcasts. And if we are, where are we? Who are we near that I can try and start a vendetta with, you know?
Yep.
And they always have their like new and noteworthy podcasts on there that are curated lists of things you should listen to. And they're like all like a 16-year-old was murdered 5 years ago. And his family has never found the truth. So
we abandon objectivity to wade into this.
Yeah. And so this was a new podcast about some 16-year-old boy who had disappeared 5 years ago and his family never got closure. You know what would help? If we bugged them about it. And underneath it has like the publisher that the podcast comes from. And this one was from the Missing Persons Podcast Network. And that was
What a depressing thought. It was so what a horrible assemblage of words.
So bleak to me. Imagine being like... Because I cannot help but get the sense that with the popularity of things like Serial and the couple of podcasts that like The Australian did that were, of course, all like cold case missing people shit, we're going to accuse an acquitted school teacher of murder or whatever. it's very obvious with how high those things chart that people very clearly say, hey, there's obviously a market for this thing, so how can I get involved? And this idea that there is like, there's now whole podcasting networks dedicated to trying to, you know, find the next big true crime hit and all that sort of stuff. It just gives me this vision of like a room, like a meeting room full of people, and they're all poring over like old newspapers or like, going to the websites for like the Australian Federal Police and stuff and looking through the missing persons and being like, are any of these compelling? And it's fucking bleak. It's terrible. And I cannot get away from the idea that it's already gross that people... I think that people are fascinated with this stuff partly because the true crime thing... I think people take it as license to be like, no, it's okay for me to be morbidly fascinated with the details of a stranger's grisly murder, because it's being presented as though it were like, you know, a real news thing or whatever. And the obvious secondary thing is how gleefully and how quickly it has been commodified.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I think there's a real kind of bandwagon hopping on there, and like surely they would reach a saturation point for that as well, where everyone goes, nope, okay, that's it, I've had enough of this particular bandwagon, now it's time to move on. But that, I'm sure that won't be a problem for us. Mm-hmm. A far left comedy podcast on Melbourne's podcast network. We're not Chapo Trap House, we're the other one, so don't get bored of leftist comedy podcasts, guys, because...
we're not on a network.
No.
A thing. No.
No.
We were for like three episodes, and then we went, what is this again?
Yeah, and then they shut down. So,
they just kind of never came back. They were like, here's where we come in. We send you things from businesses that say, would you like to do readings of ads on your show? And we said, no. And they were like, well, that's kind of the deal. That was sort of it in terms of what we were offering to each other as things. So, you know, British election. That's what we're talking about, baby.
Yeah, yep. That around. Smooth.
I turned that bad boy like a Tesla Cybertruck.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure
You haven't seen footage of it moving?
No.
It looks like if you tried to like make a 90 degree turn out of a parking lot, that the car would immediately roll 40 times.
Oh my God.
Looks like a fucking boat on springs. It's like, you know, when you're playing Grand Theft Auto and there's like the sports cars and the muscle cars and stuff, and then you get into like a 50s car and it just lurches around like it's on big springs. It looks like it handles like that.
Cool.
Who wouldn't love that?
Me, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and it looks fucking stupid. It looks so bad.
I don't know what they were expecting, to be perfectly honest.
It truly is the meme company now, isn't it? Like, I mean, it has been for a long time. It has been the fucking Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty ass company.
But at least the other Teslas, they were based on like a Lotus chassis, which is, you know, as far as chassis go, already perfect. So like kind of a classy design building from that foundation. And this is, look, I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. I see the Cybertruck and my my mind just shuts down. I have no point of reference for which to judge it. I don't know what I'm judging it against. I don't know what it is apart from a strange cultural artifact that people can spend tens of thousands of dollars on. Like
just to say, I owned one of Elon Musk's haters.
Yeah. I don't know. And somebody who is a very good friend of mine is significantly interested in the Cybertruck.
Mm.
And I don't know on what, like, objectives that's being weighed. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's for. I don't know who it's for. I know you can take it camping, and it has a coffin you can lie in.
It just is a coffin.
You can I assume there's a battery involved. I don't know. Is this the point where I kind of accept that I'm starting to lose, like, touch with technology, and I start having to say things like, oh, I can't work that out. The thing's doing something weird, so I shut it down. Like, is this the point where my brain starts to slide? Is that the problem? Am I out of touch?
Is it me? No.
Or is it the dumb boxcar from, like, from the stunts game on MS-DOS that's wrong?
Oh, my God. That's right, folks. The British election.
Low-poly garage-shading ass car.
Five polygon having motherfucking car.
Oh, Sega Saturn rendering. Oh, fucker.
So look. Time to compare what we've got going on over England, right? Or Britain, if you will. The uke. Number one, sun. We've seen it. We've got it. We get it over here. Have you been to Britain?
Here? No. No. I
went to London by accident. Not by accident, because my brother and his wife lived there. And I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And me and Eleanor went and visited. And, like, we also went around to parts of Europe we wanted to go to. But when we were in London, I just spent the whole time going, what is up with this? Why do people live here? It's fucking crazy. It's just grey and kind of gross, and everybody's like, haha, it certainly sucks to be here. And I didn't understand. I didn't get it at all.
But I think at this point they've, like, through natural selection, they've arrived at a gene pool of people completely without serotonin receptors.
Yep.
Though, right? Like, that's surely... I mean, look, I'm from that gene pool, so I can understand. Like, I would gladly go somewhere grey and joyless, so I don't have to think about all of the fun that I'm not having.
Mm-hmm.
I can just go, well, it's a bit misery out, isn't it? And so on.
Me and fun parting ways.
Mm-hmm. No more fun for me, thank you. I've had quite I haven't had quite enough, but I'm not going to start now.
Somebody started pouring you a big glass of fun, said, say when, and you were like, when? Just immediately, when?
Yep. All things in moderation except moderation.
Huh.
That's what I say.
So it seems pretty miserable, but I guess one thing they've got going on is, like, half of their country isn't on fire. Pretty cool.
Yep.
I'd argue just, with.
Yep, just the places that are clad with rock bottom price cladding that mm-hmm. just goes up like a match, apparently.
Pretty fucked up.
They've got that going on, but in their defense, I don't think they've done anything to solve it either. Hang on.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So, you know, they've got not being on fire for them, except for when they are. But apparently, I didn't even realize they got their election on a fucking weekday. What's up with that?
Seems like a good idea to me, right? Except, why? Do they? Is it a public holiday?
I don't think so.
It has to be, right? Oh.
Is Election Day a public holiday?
Oh, God. I don't know. Now I'm I'm caught between two thoughts.
Also, apparently, you can't just vote at like any you can't just vote at election day is a you can't just vote in any electorate. You have to vote in your own electorate.
Okay.
Thing I did not realize. So you can't do what we do and just kind of turn up wherever you're at and say, "Hey, here's me."
Well, that's the trick, though, because the that voting line is always shorter. To be the like, "Oh, I'm not in my electorate today. Can I just vote here anyway?" And they're like, "Sure," and they find your name and put it down. It always like takes like half the time.
There's no like how to vote cards or anything. They don't do any of that business.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't have preferential voting, right? So they just want you to vote for their party. That's it. Number one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, how to vote. It's just me, and then everyone else can fuck off.
Which is like, so I'm of the belief that every single voting system should have preferential voting, right? I believe that Triple J's Hottest 100 is completely illegitimate as a as like a voting thing, because you've just got 10 unweighted votes.
Oh, but right. Even so worse, they just all go into a big bucket, huh?
They all just go in a big bucket, right? The thing that you vote for first is the same, gets the same weighting.
The Ocean Size song that you voted for first, the Ocean Size song you voted for second, the Ocean
Size song you voted for third. I mean, look, there's upwards of like six on an album.
They're all worth the same.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Absolutely, 100%.
Even after you've spent one whole year listening to a single album and several months putting a lot of thought and writing and time into how you're ranking those individual songs in order to vote for them in Triple J's Hottest 100.
Look, I'm not doing write-in votes to Triple J's Hottest 100, all right? I have some sort of self-respect. Well, I mean, I don't, but we can go past that. But, like, the fact that they can just torpedo their own voting because there are two options on the same political kind of side that would split the vote. I mean, it's the same anywhere that you can split the vote, but that's bizarre. You guys got to get that under control. You got to sort that out. There's entire websites now dedicated to tactical voting. So you look up which electorate you're in, you work out whether you should be voting Labour or Lib Dem when, you know, in a perfect world, nobody would vote Lib Dem because nobody wants to vote Lib Dem. I don't believe in my heart that there's a person out there who kind of like stands up from one of those weird couches with the leather and all the thumbtacks pushing the leather into the frame. They kind of like peel them.
Chesterfield.
They peel themselves off their Chesterfield couch. They say, "Look, that's enough of listening to the Eagles' Greatest Hits album for one day. I have listened to it 20 times. It's time for me to leave the house and vote Lib Dems." Like, that person doesn't exist, surely.
I feel like the people in the Lib Dems are not excited about the Lib Dems.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't be excited if otherwise they wouldn't be in the Lib Dems.
I think, the only context in which I've seen people talk about like deliberately voting for the Lib Dems is, well, if you vote for Labour in this seat, you won't unseat the Conservatives, but it's the Lib Dems who have a chance, so you should vote for them.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the only context in which I have seen anybody talking about voting for them.
Absolutely.
Were you aware of the complete media blackout that they have during voting over there?
I was not.
So, you know how we had dear, sweet friend of the show, absolute boy, Riley, on a week or two ago. We were talking about this.
Absolutely.
And we were speaking quite favorably of the whole thing where Ofcom, the Office of Communications, as soon as the election campaign is underway, they suddenly like start policing the bias of things.
Yes,
that are, and accuracy. And we thought that was very interesting and sounded good. Because all of a sudden you have to just actually say a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently the same agency enforces a complete blanket ban on TV and radio, and it forbids anybody from reporting on campaign issues, opinion polls, political statements, anything that candidates are doing between the start of voting at 7 a.m. and the close of voting at 10 p.m. Which is kind of interesting.
That is. That's fascinating.
I don't necessarily think it's good or bad. I don't know. Because, like, there's... It sort of makes you wonder, like, whether... Like, here, we definitely have the thing of candidates are still out on the day, you know, they're being seen and they're voting in their own electorate and going out and still trying to, like, you know, keep up the momentum and appearances and everything. I mean, Bill Shorten during the last one was like, it's me, Chloe Shorten's husband, next prime minister. Suck it. And then we all know how that turned out.
Yep.
But... Yeah, like, I guess it's sort of in a country without compulsory voting, I wonder about the potential of things to influence, like, if you were looking at TV and everybody was doing the thing that they do here where they say, 0.025% of the vote counted and it's 90% for this party. I wonder how many people would, like, look at that and go, oh, they're winning in a landslide, so I don't need to bother going out and voting.
Hey, I mean, you could be onto something. I know UK is not quite at this point yet, but, you know, you can think back to, for example, the Fox News calling the election against Al Gore.
Yeah. And then all of the other outlets went, oh, yeah, we
agree. And then it's cool how we never really got to the bottom of that. We just kind of,
like, rolled
with
that. I assume it sorted itself
out.
I assume me and the country of Afghanistan assume that it all got sorted out.
That it all worked out.
Yep. So, you know, it's interesting. Blackout. No democracy sausage.
Terrible. I don't even know. I mean, they have... Assumedly, they have sausages, but some sort of, like, boiled format.
I believe they're known as bangers.
Bangers. Disgusting bangers country. Over. I'm so glad that we've moved past our kind of British roots
to develop
a culture of our own.
I'm trying to figure it out because it's like you have a place, a polling station, right? That's where you go and do your vote.
Yeah, and they've got the sausages there.
Well, they so what that's saying to me is they have a stationary venue. The venue isn't going anywhere.
Uh-huh.
That place is right there.
Yep. It's probably a barbecue there already.
You can set your barbecue up right next to it. The barbecue doesn't even need to be plugged into anything. You can bring your own gas bottle with it. You know?
Do they even have barbecues, or is it just like a kettle?
Look, now this is
that
a
you
great
kind
question.
Of, so you open the kettle lid and you put the sausages in the water in there. You close the kettle lid.
You boil that.
You
and
put
then
it on the hob, I believe. I think they've got hobs.
Oh, fuck off. That's terrible.
Yeah.
See, you raise a great question, though, because what is the British understanding of barbecuing? Because we have the whole thing with the States. I was talking to...
Yeah, they grill, right?
...to a Texan friend, and he was like, do you guys have barbecue there? And I was like, yes, but not as you know it.
Yeah.
I was like, what we like to do is undercook... very poor quality sausages and absolutely decimate cheap steaks by moving them around too much on the barbecue.
Man. I think that's it's a particularly exquisite form of torture is watching somebody else cook a sizzle steak.
Yeah, and just...
The seconds...
For about 8 minutes.
The seconds ticking by and just this poor congealed piece of meat boiling on the inside... Internal temperature of like 92 degrees, just totally fucked.
The real shame of it is that, you know, toxic masculinity, restrictive gender roles, all that kind of thing, they have all very incorrectly told a lot of straight men that they just like have inherited the ability to barbecue meat correctly. Like, there's kind of... there's nothing to it. Like, there's no fucking science to cooking meat or anything like that.
Chuck that bad boy on the grill.
And so, you get all these dudes who have no interest in or involvement with cooking on a regular basis within their own home. But then, like, it's the weekend and it's a barbecue and it's like, all right, my time to shine. Give me those sausages, sweetheart, and those fucking terrible rump steaks or whatever. And then I will continue to just move them all around constantly. Nothing will ever actually get any kind of browning on it or anything. They will all just turn a shade of gray. Eventually, I will remove them from the hot plate. Or I'll burn the living fuck out of everything. Terrible stuff. Terrible stuff, and you hate to see it. But they don't
have barbecues, I think, is the takeaway from that.
Well, yeah. Do they have the classic free barbecue in the park like we do?
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, like, to Americans, barbecue is an entire cuisine, and grilling is a thing that you do on a barbecue.
Yeah, you grill your entrees, which is the main meal.
Fuck.
For your barbecue.
Fuck. Entrees and apps.
In the broiler.
Babe, you want to get some apps? Imagine... What apps does this place have? Ugh. Ugh. Any ranch?
The concept of an appetizer is extremely fucked up to me, that there's this whole country that's out there like, hey, you want to eat something that's supposed to make you hungrier before the main meal? That's not how appetites work.
You want to get warmed up for this food with some smaller food? It's the eating equivalent of like stretching out before you...
Oh, that's far tamer than what I was thinking. But yeah, go with that one.
Oh, my goodness. So, yes, apparently the media blackout regulations mean that in practice, any content that could be reasonably seen by a viewer or web user in the country should avoid direct discussion about candidates, issues, or poll numbers. Content that was published before polling day is not deemed to be removed. However, broadcasts must be careful not to infringe on regulations with any new content. Damn, even though the rules are imposed within the United Kingdom, international broadcasters, which could be seen by a Brit, such as CNN, also have to avoid breaking the rules. What the fuck?
Huh.
Living in a goddamn nanny state. Being censored.
Wow.
You know?
So this is the bit where I believe, as is tradition, that... someone has to say that it's political correctness gone mad.
Wait, what did you just say?
Fuck, Andrew. I said it's political correctness gone mad.
Oh no!
I'm so glad we got the political correctness klaxon installed. Thank you.
The political correctness foghorn has gone off. Oh. That's the sound that has to be had whenever somebody complains about political correctness gone mad, which they do a lot, if we're going to be honest with you.
They absolutely hate political correctness, whatever that is.
Whatever that
vague, diffuse kind of concept is, they don't like it. And whatever it is, it has gone mad.
If there's one thing I don't want in my society... it's being asked in the gentlest terms possible to maybe think about someone who isn't me. Fuck that. I will never do that.
No. God, no.
I was talking to someone at work about this the other day. I was just like, yeah, people who complain about like fucking political correctness and censorship and all that kind of thing. Because like I was in the fucking danger zone at work recently because a young guy who I'm friends with, like him, office is quiet, and he says to me, I can't remember how we got anywhere near this, but he was like, what do you think of Sam Harris?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
Now, Sam Harris is the big brain dude that thinks that too nice to Muslims.
He's the big brain, new atheism dude who goes very hard on the religion is bad, but especially the brown one. He has that whole kind of Islam is like a fundamentally violent ideology. you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This
as opposed to one that is practiced by billions of people. So, yeah, I was really in a zone there. I was tiptoeing around eggshells. I was doing the thing in that classic movie where Catherine Zeta-Jones has to, like, sexily creep around all the lasers to steal something.
Yeah, and while doing that, you do look just like Catherine Zeta-Jones, I have to say.
I was looking good. Had the cat suit on in this little fantasy. But yeah, I was trying not to set off any of the alarms of anything, because the zone I was in physically, I was surrounded by like various people of color, immigrants from other countries, and also like white programmer guys. So I was like, oof.
Yeah.
How do I get out of this one without making somebody mad? And yeah, I just said, ooh.
Just make the programmers mad. Doesn't matter. They're not real
people. Of course my preference is to make the programmers mad. But yeah, I was like, I said, I think just generally speaking, like the new atheism stuff is kind of bogus. And generally speaking, that whole kind of crew of facts and logic dudes, I said, the thing that you will tend to find about these people and what I think has happened to Sam Harris is that they get a following that says, hey, you have the brain of Jesus Christ. You are the second coming of God, but in intellectual form as opposed to religious. And they say, you know what, several million people, you're right. And they get high on their own supply and they tend to go fucking insane. I said, like Stefan Molyneux or fucking Jordan Peterson. I said, look at those dudes. They got big on the fucking Reddit type, you know, new atheism type shit. And they went fucking crazy. So yeah, that was my...
And just like well outside their domain as well.
Yeah, so
kind of...
My entry level position on this one was, I generally think that type of dude is not great. And then I followed up with, I generally think that type of dude is not great. And also, I said, I think it's very easy for young people, particularly young men, to, when they're like in their very early 20s, be like, I watched some Bill Hicks and now I know what's up. Everyone's a fucking idiot except for me. And there's no God, but drugs are cool.
Yeah, and it's very weird. And look,
we've all been there. It's fine.
100%. But it's very odd that that concept or that sort of falling on Bill Hicks or Jordan Peterson or you know, whoever else that might be at the time, tends to fill a very faith-based hole in someone's
personality. Strangely enough. Big cross-shaped hole.
Where other people, you know, that are religious are looking for meaning in the world, and they find, you know, higher meaning in God or in faith or whatever it might be. Odd that these people, like you say, kind of like worshipping at the altar of intellectualism, tend to fill all of the same impulses with just something which is very, very similar, just more negative in general. And then you can kind of slap an IQ rating on it and say, no, that's good. That's objectivity, baby.
That's good. I must be smart to like this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I said, you know, I think it's very easy for a lot of young dudes to kind of get into that sort of thing. But I said, the older that I get, the more that I look at the world in shades of gray, and that I think a lot of people, whatever they're kind of out there doing, you know, a lot of people are just trying to get by, do the right thing, all that sort of thing. And I said, much like the way that the whole stereotype of like vegans has changed over the last 10 or 15 years from, oh, vegans are all people who are so mouthy and insufferable about the thing that they're doing and they won't shut up about it. And now the people who won't shut the fuck up are the people talking shit about vegans when it's got nothing to do with them. And I find that the more insufferable of the two things. Far and away.
Absolutely.
Most vegan people that I know now are just living their life normally and have a different diet to mine. And that's the end of it. That is like the beginning and the end of it. Nobody I know who is vegan ever turns around to me and says, you know what you should be doing? Fucking no one ever says that. People in an office only have to hear the word vegan from like 12 feet away. And then they like wheel around in their chair and want to stop.
Oh, did you know it's not actually environmentally friendly when you think about it?
I could never stop eating bacon. I'm going to have double bacon. Environment. Yeah, just that shit.
And so on.
So that's how I feel about young guy loudmouth atheism, basically. Is you're the person who won't shut the fuck up about the vegans who aren't bothering you, you know? And yeah, and I find that to be a more objectionable thing these days than the idea that someone who lives next door to me goes to church and doesn't fucking talk to me about it. That's fine with me. So political correctness has gone mad, unfortunately. You hate to see it.
I don't hate to see it. I love to see it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I meant. but I
to
did
me, it
see...
Could, it could go madder.
I did see... I would like to see political correctness goes H.P. Lovecraft. You know?
Oh, sure.
Not just goes mad. It goes like cosmic madness. So I did see an article today and it tickled me just right. And I thought, I must share this with my friends. From 7 News here. Let me try and get through this headline.
yep.
Melbourne Childcare Centre replaces Santa with sustainability pirate. That is just wonderful. It's a wonderful image. I don't know where to start, you know? Like, I think before we even get into it,
yep.
Let's close your eyes and describe to me what you picture when I say the sustainability pirate.
Okay. So, I mean, first of all, he has a Stop Adani shirt on. he's white, but he has dreadlocks.
Hell yeah, he does.
What else?
Is the sustainability pirate just Jack Sparrow? Is that?
I mean, absolutely. Except without the inexplicable Johnny Depp sex appeal.
He's actually the knockoff Kingdom Hearts animated Jack Sparrow.
Sure. So when I close my eyes and picture this.
Mm-hmm.
I picture because they specifically say they replaced Santa with a sustainability pirate. I specifically picture Santa having to be fired.
Yes, or killed.
Yep. And then basically saying, look, we really want you to be here this year, but political correctness does actually require us to deny your existence and also to suckle at the teat of sustainability, which we don't really believe, but no. we're going for it anyway because of otherwise if we don't then we'll be thrown in jail because of political correctness, which has as we mentioned earlier gone mad.
The PC police, if you will, are going to come around.
You're seeing more and more of the PC police these days, aren't you? Like on every street corner.
With the AR-15s.
Yep. Just capsicum spraying. Concerned but silent majority citizens.
bludgeoning elderly nuns with their truncheons.
Terrible what society has become, but this is what we voted for, I think. Every time we vote Greens, this is what we're voting for, is the continued and increased militarization of the political correctness police.
So, allow us to regale you here with this report from Seven News. A childcare centre in Melbourne's inner west has been accused of ruining Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, big claim top. None of these kids are getting presents.
Big stinky turd in the stocking.
Been accused of ruining Christmas by replacing Santa with a visit from the sustainability pirate at its end-of-year party.
I just want to stop you right here, Andrew, and say that this is probably one of approximately 17,000 times that these children will see a real-life Santa.
Yes.
Through this Christmas period?
This was definitely my thought, was the idea that, like, because if you're talking about a childcare center, right? We're talking about, like,
4-year-olds.
Yeah, we're talking about small children. We're talking about three and 4-year-old kids, right? If you think that a 3 or 4-year-old child has any form of concept of, like, what the fucking date is.
Yeah, what happened last year?
Yeah, oh, if they were mother. Like, hey, 12 months ago to the day, we were visited by
the real Santa Claus
here at our childcare center. I'm expecting him to arrive any minute now. What's the deal? What's going on? No. You say to them, oh, we're going to go see Santa at the shops because that's what we want to do. You know? They don't have any fucking expectation.
And they're like, do we have to go to the shops? I just want to play on the Switch.
Yeah. In past years, Santa has made an appearance at the Kensington Community Childcare Centre, but this year, he has been struck off the list. Some parents have described the move as...
Yep.
Go political on. Correctness gone mad.
Okay, so we went through a selection process for this horn.
Yeah.
To find, and I think really we were just judging on its characteristics as a horn.
Yeah. You did say you wanted a fog horn.
This kind of suggests some sort of political correctness dreadnought. Just hanging like a kilometer off the coast,
barreling down towards us.
Yeah, it's 18-inch guns just slowly rotating towards like an image of Santa at the shops, and you're not allowed Santa at the shops anymore because of the war on Christmas, and it just fires those gigantic cannons just. Demolishing the Westfield shopping center.
I just feel like I'm still fucking waiting for any one of these stories to ever seemingly have any kind of like relevance to the real world, right? Because I don't know about you, I'm sometimes forced to leave the house for things like going to work, stuff like that, you know? And like the big shopping center that I park at and then walk to my office, you would be shocked to find it's actually absolutely decked out head to toe in Christmas shit. And there's a fucking gigantic Christmas tree right in the middle of it. And all the stores you go into are blasting Christmas carols.
Now, like I went in to get a fucking... I've been getting all of the notices on the little news tickers, right? Like the papers sort of like reeling out at the speed of sound
out of this news
ticker, and I tear it off excitedly, and I put my little reading glasses on, hold it up, and it says there, Andrew, that we are winning the war on Christmas.
And yet,
when we go and visit the battleground,
I am confronted.
The battle lines, the trenches that we have dug in the war against Christmas. What do you see?
I see fucking Christmas trees. I see a gigantic come and get your bullshit photo taken with Santa display. Actually, there's two fucking Santas at that mall. There's one in Maya and there's one out in like the big atrium kind of thing. So I hope there's no kids like walking from there through to the Maya and then being like, how did you get over here so quickly? And why is your beard different? And you got different helpers and all this shit. Like, it's just absurd. I don't know if you saw the thing where Lyle Shelton, former Australian Christian Lobby representative and failed Liberal candidate, big time marriage equality opponent. So he's done his 11 months of the year that he spends complaining about how they warned us that nothing was going to change by doing marriage equality, but also some kids are being told not to bully trans kids. He says. He switched to his holiday mode, which is war on Christmas stuff. And he was posting this stuff on Twitter complaining at the ABC show Q&A because the host, Tony Jones, did a sign-off because they're all going on break. He did a sign-off and he was like, and the word Christmas was nowhere to be heard. Terrible. Terrible that you are silencing everyone, blah, 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 blah. And after, you know, the requisite 40 replies of people saying, eat shit, Lyle, and don't you have something to fucking do with your life, all that kind of thing. Somebody replied and was like, he did say Merry Christmas. And then the Q&A account replied with the clip from the show of Tony Jones saying, and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you're doing, all this other stuff. And Lyle just replied, Merry Christmas. Like, there was no like, oh, good to see, you know, oh, glad you've cleared that up. I must have missed that little bit. There was nothing like that. There was like, sorry, I've clearly made a mistake. It was just like, and a Merry Christmas to you too. But fucking absurd.
Much like the 4-year-olds at this childcare center who absolutely possess object permanence and are wondering where Santa is this year, while a man, very strange man named the Sustainability Pirate, is telling them not to throw their car batteries in the ocean. Lyle will also forget that this occurred, that they have apparently lost the war on Christmas until next year. Where they will apparently also claim that there's a war on Christmas and they're losing it while completely surrounded by, you know, Santa Claus and Christmas trees and all this sort of stuff that has actually nothing to do with the real Christmas. Almost as if there's no actual kind of war against it. It's very odd to me, but it is political correctness gone mad.
I have to give you the transcript of this thing here. Lyle Shelton tweets, one more thing about last night's final Q&A program for Tony Jones. He signed off referring to the, quote, summer break. Merry Christmas seems to be two words banned on the ABC. I'll admit it. I'm triggered. The one thing that they know how to say.
That's the joke.
So Matt Bevin, who is a host on ABC News and Radio National and stuff, has replied, I've said Merry Christmas on my last show on Radio National every year, as do most of my colleagues. We also do specialist Christmas Day programming every year. How about you check a fact for once? Merry Christmas, Lyle. To which Lyle Shelton replies, thanks, Matt. Glad to hear it. It's a shame Q&A and insiders couldn't take a leaf out of your book. Merry Christmas to you too. So he's already had someone say, they fucking say Merry Christmas on all these shows all the time. And he's like, yes, but also two shows that I can think of didn't say it. Q&A, the account then replies with a clip from the episode of Tony Jones saying Merry Christmas, to which Lyle replies, Merry Christmas, Christmas tree emoji. That's the end of the conversation with him. How?
Just take a loss.
So shameless. So just absolutely without the ability to just have a bit of humility and say, you know what? I was wrong. They did say it, and that's good to see because it means that they're doing the thing that I've said they should do.
Want.
Doesn't that prove me right in some kind of way? No, apparently not. And that's why we are forcibly interjecting the sustainability pirate into Lyle's school that he sends his kids to. Now, continuing on here, some parents... What the fuck does that mean? It said, the school said the pirate was chosen to teach the children after the center received new grants for environmental projects. But not all parents are happy about the new addition. Parent Christopher Paulson told 7 News, it's PC gone wild.
Also, this guy's got like shoulder length, shaggy hair, like a full beard.
He's got he's got Greens candidate glasses.
He's got like a plaid jacket over a plain black t-shirt. Now,
plaid?
I saw the... Hey?
Plaid? Is that?
Plaid. Plaid.
Plaid?
Plaid.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm going to put on my plaid...
Plaid.
Jacket.
And I saw the photo before I saw the actual description, and I assumed he was the sustainability pirate. Yeah,
me too. I was like, surely this guy's in here saying it's fine or it was my idea.
Absolutely.
But no, instead he says all the parents are getting on social media and getting a bit cranky about it. So obviously there are some heated opinions about Santa. This sounds like a great basis for an article. Several parents got on the Facebook page and said, hey. Parenting expert Jules Allen said her first feeling at hearing about the pirate was sadness.
I heard about the pirate and I was sad.
I immediately wept. I wept many tears. Taking that out of context is great. Parenting expert Jules Allen said her first feeling at hearing about the pirate was sadness, believing that imagination and fantasy are an important part of childhood. Yeah, there's no fucking imagination involved in, like, kids and pirates.
Also, they're kind of alighting a key detail here. Apparently, Jules Allen was a former master chef as well.
Really?
Or contestant? So, I bet if you dig into what she has to say, it's guaranteed to be bullshit.
I bet she called the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
She continues, this is not a cultural issue or a religious issue.
No, hang on, sorry. We didn't finish that first part. So, her feeling of hearing the pirate was sadness, believing imagination and fantasy are an important part of childhood. What the fuck do you think our portrayal of pirates is?
Exactly. Watch Hook, you know? Get it together, lady. She says, this is not a cultural issue or a religious issue, and to me, it's a no-brainer. You have the pirate on that day, and you have Santa on another day, she said.
What is the day? It's not a...
The one day of the year that we can have... that we finally make a choice between all the different things we've been planning out.
This article has already been published. I'm looking down at the date. It's 12th of the 12th. It's not even Christmas yet.
But also, like, seems to be missing the point that, number one, it obviously costs you money at a childcare center to get a fucking Santa in there and all that sort of thing. But... It if you're going to get the sustainability pirate in, they already said, yeah, and we got grants from the government to do environment-related stuff, so we're just going to pay this dude to come in instead with that money instead of our own money. The party is due to be held on Friday. It hasn't even happened yet. I love it. God. How did you get that into the news? Who called the newspaper and said, I got a fucking scoop for you?
Some kids are getting together in one place and there's not even going to be a fucking single Santa there.
There's going to be an event at a childcare center. There will be no Santa present. Is it a Christmas party? No. It's just a day at the childcare center. They're having a visitor and the visitor is not Santa. Yes, I'll hold. Just fucking beautiful. I love it.
Ah, bless him.
Now, before we get out of here, we're going to hit you with one more story from the news. You know, we like to keep you updated, folks.
Well, all the important stuff, I feel.
We like to keep
all
you...
All the news you need to know.
Yes.
That's the Buena Vista promise.
Yes. And let's see how you like this one. We like to keep you in the loop, but we also like to keep you in the poop. Because...
Go on.
You know, we got some Dookie-themed stuff going on this show. You'll know it. You subscribed.
I mean, look, it's just, I feel it's such a big part of our lives.
It is.
That we need to normalize it by talking about it, by presenting the news that matters to people that shit constantly.
You.
If you are...
Me.
If
everybody's
if you
mothers. We all spend 19
like me,
to 20 to 21 hours a day shitting.
On the toilet. Some of those hours are paid. I just want you to know that you are valid. I see you, and I am definitely amongst you. I am one of your kind. I gotta shit all the time.
Just a big shitting man. So, great headline here. Staff meeting that turned out crap.
I feel like that could have spent a couple more times.
A few more minutes?
A little longer in the incubator.
Could have baked that one a little longer. By Brad Crouch. Good name. You know that whole thing like in Hot Fuzz where everybody's named after like what some ancestor of theirs did?
Yep.
Imagining this guy's family reunion. Everybody just
he's big on haunches.
Everybody just kinda hunched over, looking sorta creepy, crouched down. Oh, wonderful stuff. Alright, here we go, baby. We all have crap days at work, but spare a thought for staff at Flinders Medical Center who ended up drenched in excrement. Drenched is causing me some concern.
I don't like that. I feel like drenched is sort of revealing a lot about the cleanup process that would have had to happen afterwards, but go on.
It's quite a few steps past splashed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you got like, a little on you. You can rinse it out in the tap. It's fine.
I would say it's even further than doused. It's even further than being doused in something.
Oh, it's well past doused.
You know? Doused is like someone poured a milkshake over your head. Drenched is like every item of clothing. Your socks are wet through your shoes, you know? At a hospital meeting earlier this week, a pipe burst showering workers in sewage. The meeting of physiotherapists had begun on Wednesday when staff heard an ominous gurgling from above. This is very like, you know that kind of era of like, there's something about Mary,
yeah.
Road trip, early 2000s kind
of. I'm thinking of the Ryan Reynolds one.
I'm thinking of the one... Oh, like Van Wilder?
Van Wilder.
Beautiful. The gurgle turned into a groan then in... in what has been described as being, quote, like something out of a bad comedy movie, maybe Van Wilder.
Sure.
The ceiling gave way and a surge of raw sewage descended on the gathered group.
I don't have a lot of truck with raw sewage, but the one thing that I don't want it doing is surging.
I prefer mine cooked.
I've treated. I just don't give it to me just fresh, just hot off the presses. I don't want it.
Yeah. Please never give me sewage hot off the presses. Shock turned to horror as the staff ran for cover from the disgusting deluge, but there was no immediate escape. The fecal flood has been blamed on a plumbing contractor who whacked the wrong pipe, causing it to burst. He's just in there. I should hit this pipe with a hammer.
No, he has a wrench, but it's way too big for a wrench that anyone could possibly use. It's like one that would be slung over the shoulder by like a Final Fantasy character.
Yeah, it's the kind you would use to change a tire on one of those like mining trucks that's like 40 feet tall.
Yeah, he winds it up like an enemy in Streets of Rage and just brings down the wrench.
Just lets him have it, you know? And afterwards he's like, I don't know what I thought was going to happen. You know?
What was the right pipe to whack?
Yeah, yeah. What was going to happen when you...
Yeah, normally, I see your problem here.
Look, yeah, he's in there. He's in there talking to a doctor who is like drenched head to toe in raw shit. The plumber has none of it on him. He's wiping his hands with a cloth and he says, look, I don't know what to tell you. 7 times out of 10, whacking the pipe works fine. 3 times out of 10, this.
You whack the wrong pipe.
Yeah. You still want to leave me a review on like whitepages.com or... The room was evacuated and closed and workers directed to clean up the mess worked in protective suits. Fuck yeah, you did. God damn. I really like how this is phrased, right? Affected staff had to shower and have their clothes cleaned. Like, I feel like anyone had to do it. I'm pretty sure they were all happy.
Is there a guy, like, pushing that policy?
Guy who's like, what, you're going to make me do it?
I don't shower for nothing.
Yeah, on his way home. Oh, and now you're not going to let me on the bus. Oh, great. Copping it from everyone today. Fortunately, no one was injured. A statement from Southern Adelaide Local Health Network says, our number one priority is the safety and well-being of our staff, who were all immediately provided with support and hopefully some therapy, I guess.
Mm.
It is.
And I feel like this last paragraph is where this turns from farce to tragedy.
I think I'm assuming this is the same guy. It is understood that everything in the room that could not be comprehensively cleaned had to be destroyed, including lunches brought in by staff. Oh, look, buddy, I gave it a wipe down, but I think this 6-inch sub has seen its last days. I know you were looking forward to it, but...
At this stage, we can't tell what's soup and what's sewage. Trust me, you just gotta let it go.
He's like opening the top and going, how many meatballs do they put in the sub for you? How many? It's soaked right through the paper. You don't want this. You don't want this. The same guy who didn't want to shower is like, I think it's fine. I think my wonton soup is fine, pal. Oh, goddamn. And I reckon if that has not happened to you this week, you are having a better week than those people.
I feel like... they would be in, like, the lower kind of echelons of people who are having a good week, to be perfectly honest. That would be a thing that I would find difficult to recover from. I don't think the effect of that would be limited to my week. I feel like the effect of that would be... that would be something that would ruin my year, right?
I was going to say, you're like, right, 2019's a write-off.
The decade's fuck almost this. Over. I've made it this far. I've had my ups and downs. I've gotten over my ex-girlfriend, kicked my vices. I'm so glad I can just kick back here at this Christmas party and just relax and be and just see the decade out with a smile.
And then what's that ominous noise?
Whacking noise. What's...
hear somebody. It sounds like someone is.
Is someone hitting a sewage pipe with a gigantic wrench?
I was gonna say, it sounds like someone's charging up a finishing move. What is that? What is that ominous gurgling? So there's a little tip for you folks. If you are in a meeting and you hear an ominous gurgling from overhead, don't wait around and see what happens. Just get out of there. And of course, if you live in the United Kingdom, vote for the absolute boy Jezza, and we'll all get up tomorrow and see what's happening together.
We'll work out whether political correctness has finally, at long last, gone mad.
That's it for us, folks. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.